Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome inside the Slide Over Baby Hour. Jason Smith, Mike Harmon, live from the studio. That is Geico. And we're going to have the reason why the Lakers beat the Nuggets tonight, why they're up in this series 3-1. Part of it is very easy. Part of it is you have to look a little deeper and ask a different question. But, you know, this has been nagging at me all night, Mike, and okay. I want to get at this for a couple minutes here because, you know, we watched Ryan Fitzpatrick just carve up the Jacksonville Jaguars tonight. I mean, he's the first player to beat a team with six different teams. I mean, he's beaten the Dolphins now with six teams that he's played on in
Is
his
it
NFL
six?
Career.
Wow. Oh, I had amazing. It at five, but yeah, I guess keep going.
It's incredible what he's been able to do. He has beaten them with the Bengals, Bills, Titans, Texans, Jets. Now the Dolphins. It doesn't matter. I mean, it's amazing. I've beaten the Jaguars. Sorry, as a member of now six different teams.
Right.
And, you know, tonight was the whole thing about Fitzpatrick was going to be the beard against the mustache. And, you know, Minshew never led up to, you know, anything
No.
with his game tonight. The Jaguars clearly were out of sync. It was not the team we'd watched play the first 2 weeks. Minshew was bad. They had trouble moving the football. And you can't tell me, well, we missed DJ Chark. Well, okay, they've been doing pretty well the first couple of weeks. And it's not like he's got like 400 yards receiving. The guy's got 100 yards receiving.
Well, and you got D.D. Westbrook back.
Sure. But
so
still,
he hadn't played.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it was just really disappointing. And Minshew mania hits pause for a second. But, you know, I was getting ready for the whole big beard versus mustache debate tonight. And in the end, Minshew really didn't come through. And I was a little upset. And it's weird that I'm upset because I hate both beards and mustaches.
Is that right?
That's
hot take.
You know, that's the thing. It's one of the few, you know, normally when a topic comes up, I feel very strongly about it one way. I mean, every time. But when it comes to beard versus mustache, I'm like, no, I don't like either of them. I don't like you. I can't imagine the length of time it would take for me to grow a mustache where I wouldn't get so impatient with it and go, you know what, I'm just going to shave it. It looks terrible. I'm not going to do it. I just can't.
Yeah, but if you walk around with a mask on, you won't even see it.
No, I just can't do it. No, I would know. I would know. I couldn't do it. I'd be the one who knows. I got to look in the mirror when I brush my teeth in the morning and at night, and I'm the one that's got to see that. And I'm going, I'm not a fan. And the beard, forget it, man. Are you kidding? My neck gets so itchy after like a day and a half, I got to shave. If I could take a pill that I'd never have to shave again, I would take it and say, this is going to be awesome. I never have to shave again. I don't have to worry about that. I can't stand shave. I hate having some kind of beard. Beard versus mustache, there's no winners. There's no winners there.
Wow.
And none. Absolutely none.
See, I'm starting to grow my beard. It's my playoff beard with the White Sox going there for the first time since 2008. My White Sox going to the playoffs. They're limping in, but they're going to the playoffs nonetheless.
Yeah, but that's okay. You're going to shave eventually. You're doing it as a fun thing. I get the playoff
beard.
It's
hot. No, I get a good beard going.
Yeah, but you're going to shave it eventually.
Maybe.
You're doing it. Really? You're going to keep the beard?
Why not?
You're going to keep the beard, really? You keep the beard?
Sexy time. Yeah.
Are you gonna keep? No,
Why
it's
not?
Not. There's no way a beard is sexy. There's no way. There's no way. No way. No. People with beard. I feel. Here, what I feel. People with beards. I feel like I'm a little nervous of. Like they, because you know, they're growing a beard. Like I feel like they're kind of a recluse and they like really weird things. So I'm like, you know, beard.
What do you mean by really weird things? Care to elaborate?
Oh no, I don't know. I could walk
since
in.
Since you're
I would
watching
say,
Eyes Wide Shut 24/7.
Yes, that's what it is. Hey, you want to come to a party tonight? We're all wearing beards. Oh, okay. And then everybody's naked with masks on. No, 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 no. I mean, like, oh hey, what's going on? Hey, do you want to come in and see my collection? I have a collection of Golden Girls spoons with the faces of all the Golden Girls on them, and they're up all through. Oh,
what
no,
the hell
really
are you doing,
don't.
Inviting Rob Parker? Parker to this party.
I don't
craziness going on here.
I don't really want to see that. No, you'd be
I'm
loving
a woman.
It'd be great. Yeah, no, it's hard. And a mustache, I feel like the person is indecisive, doesn't know what they're going for. Like,
oh,
do I
no.
want a beard one day? I'm gonna wear a mustache instead. I want to
yeah,
hide
but you,
a little
you
bit.
Like options.
No, you just hope.
Look, as men, you know, some of the fashion options, you know, it's pretty staid, pretty boring.
Nah,
I mean, and for you, I mean, you can only wear so many different styles of sweatpants.
No, well, if I wear a good style, I'm looking good. But with a mustache and a beard, it's like guys are hoping it exudes mystery and strength. And I'm like,
who wants a mustache ride?
Well, not. it's just not my thing. I find it hard to believe that people actually like it. Like I see
when you cast aspersions on every one of these guys wearing a mustache or a beard as I sit and watch Robin Williams in Good Will Hunting.
I mean, come on. There's the stubble that, like, you know, is the sexy stubble, which I can enjoy for about 5 minutes. Like, yeah, I got the sexy stubble going on here. Yeah, all right.
Is that the top of your head or the mustache / beard?
It's a stubble. Here, just feel the top of my head. Just rub your hand on it. Just rub it around. Yeah, how's that feel? Feel good? You like that? Your top of your head is sweaty. Yeah, I was just wearing a hat. It's a fitted hat, so it doesn't breathe as well. But just rub your hand on the top of my head there. It feels really good. No, I'm just not. It's just I've never been someone to say mustache, beard. Yeah. So in mustache, for I guess if I had to pick. Between Burr and Hamilton, Burr and Jefferson. If I had to pick, I would say mustache, just because I know after a couple of days, I would just sit there and scratch my throat incredulously, and I'd have to get rid of it.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Couldn't do it.
No, I'm getting ready to grow a magnificent beard, one for the ages, as we get deep into this playoff run. And I'll have to keep it because the Bears will be deep into a playoff run, too.
Mm. Well, 2-0, you know, 2-0 is the new 3-0.
What is it, 63% or something like that?
Yeah.
And you add that seventh team, man. So opportunity knocks, except for your Jets.
No. Well, opportunity is going to knock in the draft when we get Trevor Lawrence. That's where the opportunity is. It's going to be knocking on the door. It's going to bang the door down. What's the movie, The Transporter, with Jason Statham, where he knocks on the door and the guy goes and looks through the peephole and then he just comes flying at the door and knocks it off its hinges? That's opportunity knocking for the Jets in the draft. That's where it's going to be.
I think you hear me knocking, and I think I'm coming in.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike and Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, live from the Geico Studios. So we have more on this game because there's a big question that has got to be hard to answer when it comes to Thursday Night Football. But we watch tonight the Lakers take a 3-1 lead over the Denver Nuggets, and it was clearly Anthony Davis's night, like this series has been Anthony Davis's night. And we've talked about this a couple of times that really at the end, look, the Nuggets, whether it's now or at the end of the series, they can look at this series and go, okay, there's so many things that happened. The Lakers did this, they did this, they did this, they did this. But in the end, they're just going to look at each other and go, we couldn't stop Anthony Davis, no matter what. He is a bad matchup for us. We could not stop him. Mike Malone talked about it before, after game one, saying, if we can't find a better way to guard Anthony Davis, we're not going to win. And that's clearly where it's at right now. Because, you know, I picked the Lakers in 5 before this series. Man, I don't know if you know that or not.
I had the Nuggets before it all began. So,
buddy, that's a great pick. That's a great pick.
It was gutsy, but now it's, you know, shooting me in the foot.
But the other part of it is not so. Yes, Anthony Davis is terrific. And you go a little deeper, and the question is always, who's going to be the next best player for the Lakers, right? Who's going to be their third guy behind Davis and behind LeBron? Is it going to be Kuzma? Is it going to be KCP? Is it going to be Dwight Howard? Who's it going to be? And we ask that question, and for the longest time, it's not really. And you're now asking the wrong question, because that's not how the Lakers are formulated. The Lakers have figured out who they are, and they figured out their way around who's going to be our other guy besides Dwight and LeBron. And it could be a guy to hit a bunch of shots. It could be a guy to set things up. It could be a guy to hit free throws. Whatever it is, it's not so much who's going to be our guy for tonight. It's who's going to be our guy for the next 6 minutes. That's what the Lakers have done. And when you look at the Lakers that way, you can see how deep they are. Because look, take tonight, for example, right? Early in the game, who was it? Kyle Kuzma and Dwight Howard, right? They were terrific. Dwight Howard was 11-10 at halftime.
Yeah.
Kyle Kuzma had 10 points. And despite the fact the Nuggets shot 60% from the floor, they were down by 5. So it's Anthony Davis killing them, and then it's Dwight Howard, and it's Kyle Kuzma, all right? Second half,
It was not Dwight Howard and Kyle Kuzma. It was KCP, who had some big shots on his way to 13 points. It was playoff Rondo with a big basket, a couple of big free throws in the final couple of minutes. The Lakers just need that other guy who's going to get us through the next few minutes. And then we'll worry about that. We'll worry about the next guy after that. But just get us through these next. Who's going to be our other big threat that we can count on? Some nights it's Alex Caruso, and this is why he's at the top of Twitter trending all the time. Oh, Caruso! The last 5 minutes, he had that steal. He had the three. He had this. And it doesn't matter that Caruso only plays 20 minutes, and he's just giving you the great burst, because now the Lakers will find someone else. It will be someone else who will move on and say, okay, now this is the night tonight, because that's how the Lakers did it tonight. All right, you had Kuzma and Howard in the first half, and the second half was KCP, and then it was Rajon Rondo at the end, just like it has been. This is how the Lakers are winning, and it's a lot. You can say, well, you're talking about four guys that have to have it going. No, you're just talking about one guy that's got to have it going for 5 or 6 minutes, and that's it. And you have two or three guys over the course of a game, you're going to win those games. You know, it's nice to have Tyler Hero and saying one guy coming off the bench for 37 points, because, look, that's what we're used to talking about. Who's going to be the next big threat after Jimmy Buckets, after Goran Dragic? But the Lakers are made differently because of the way they were formulated and the way they were built. Okay, they had to go this way, because eventually you can keep saying Kyle Kuzma is going to be our third, and then when you go through a bunch of games and most of the season, and then you get to the bubble and you go, Kyle Kuzma just can't do it. He's just not going to be someone that's going to come in and be consistent night in and night out. So instead what it is okay, what can Kyle do? Can he give us a good 20 minutes and be very impactful for 7 or 8 of them? Yes, that's what he did tonight. And the Lakers are getting this from all of those guys. And this formula, this is why they are just motoring through the playoffs right now and why they're a win away from the NBA Finals.
Well, it's all picking up for some of the energy management, I guess we would say, that LeBron James has to do at this point, right? With the every other day games, it's become a difficult proposition to grind on both ends of the court. I mean, today he picked up Murray on the defensive end. That taxed him. He hasn't shot particularly well, even driving to the basket. He's left some short. But when you've got guys to clean it up, particularly Dwight Howard right now, I mean, his value is immense to what this team's trying to accomplish, because Denver can't match them at the rim, right? That is just the bottom line. Malone said it coming into the series, certainly said it after game one. And even with a non-factor on the boards in Anthony Davis, he was hitting every shot he took. So it didn't matter. And in the end, they get to the foul line more. They're working around the rim more. So points in the paint, certainly up, and being aggressive. You know what you're going to get generally, right? You could put a pretty good range on the final stat sheets for LeBron and Anthony Davis. But if you can get Kuzma to start shooting, because let's face it, if you were to start doing mean tweets, we could sit here and do Kyle Kuzma mean tweets from this series and from this playoffs and not have to do any content on this show for the next couple of weeks. I mean, yeah. We would echo some other in the media and kind of doing that. But, you know, that's the kind of hate that he and derision he's gotten, because he was supposed to be the chosen one. He mm-hmm. was the last guy, you know, to be remaining. He was LeBron's chosen guy to not be shuffled off like the rest of the draft classes before him. And he's essentially been a non-factor. Tonight hits a couple of big shots, had his moments along the way. But yeah, I'm triple underscoring Dwight Howard. Like turning back the clock, whatever euphemism you want to use, the dominance early in this game. He had 8 rebounds before you blinked.
Look, and sometimes those big minutes are at the beginning of a game and they're not at the end. And that's why it's such a big deal for the Lakers. Look, Jeremy Grant has had a big playoff series so far, and he's becoming a really, really good NBA player. He had a really good first half tonight, did nothing in the second half. Okay, but this is where the Nuggets, it's okay for that if the Nuggets have somebody else to pick up the slack. They didn't. And at the end, it was just Jamal Murray, because Nikola Jokic had a horrendous game.
Yeah, he did.
And he also wasn't aggressive at the end because he was in foul foul trouble. But sometimes those big moments, okay, it was early for Dwight and for Kyle Kuzma because, as I said, you shoot 60% in the first half, you're down by 5 points. It's what the hell is going on with us? Sometimes it's those big moments early, and then you can rely on your superstars late to get it done. Because how did the Lakers do it in the final couple of minutes? LeBron hit free throws, AD hit free throws, Rajon Rondo hit a couple of free throws. That was it. I mean, they won it. They got the ball to their players and hit free throws, and they were able to stave the Nuggets off. The big minutes can come at any time, but the Lakers had them throughout the game tonight, big moments early, and that's how they were able to do it. The Miami Heat got Tyler Hero, all one guy, 37, but it works different ways for different teams. But this is why, when you figure out who you are, everything gets better soon. And the Lakers, because of the way they're constructed, they figured out how it works. And it's one of these four or five guys that just has to be going for a little bit for a few minutes. You know, and then I'll worry about the middle of the second quarter in the middle of the second quarter. Let's get from here to the middle of the second quarter first, and then we'll worry about that another time. And look, the Lakers, they're rolling. I mean, this is how they play. This is who they are. And LeBron still hasn't had to extend himself to the point where you could say, boy, he may be getting tired. He may be getting tired. If anything, LeBron has still been restrained for most of the playoffs and maybe saving himself for the NBA Finals. Where, okay,
I hope you're right, because I've seen a guy that looks pretty tired to me.
Yeah, but still, when you look pretty tired and you're 26, 9, and 8,
that's
still a pretty good
night,
buddy.
But I mean, you can fill up the stat sheet, but it could be a detriment in other ways that don't show up in the score sheet. That's all I'm saying.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Oh, we're drinking velvet now, just gulping velvet down. Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. Tonight we watched the Dolphins really just run away from the Jacksonville Jaguars early. Hope you enjoyed Thursday Night Football, by the way, because next week is Jets-Broncos.
Jets-Broncos. It could be the Joe Flacco Revenge Bowl by next
week.
So just wanted to let you know, I want to warn you ahead of time, next Thursday is Jets-Broncos. Plan accordingly. All right, that means whatever you want to do, whether it's planning to watch, planning to hate watch, planning to watch and make fun of me after, it's or planning to not watch, it's Jets-Broncos next Thursday night.
Do you think they'll be able to get a bigger Fire Gase contingent than they did today?
I would think so. Well, let's see. Let's see how the Jets do this week against the Colts.
Fair point. Fair point.
I mean, when you want to have a Fire Gase thing and the Jets fans tried to have a fire, you can't do it like right on top of the team. You got to do it someplace where, you know, people are going to be okay going there. Oh, okay, right. You can't just have it right there. It's like, we're going to have it right where the Jets. No, you can't do it there. You got to find a place.
I like the potential for chaos. Let's go.
Yeah. So again, Jets Broncos next Thursday. Plan accordingly. And I can never think of Jets Broncos on a Thursday night without thinking of Tebow and that win in 2011 when the Jets are winning the whole game, but Sanchez throws a bleeping pick six, and then Tebow leads him down the final 2 minutes, 85 yards. He runs in for a touchdown when nobody wanted to tackle him, and I go, I can't believe we just blew this game to the Broncos on a Thursday night. When you say Jets Broncos Thursday night, I think of that game. I think of that, and I will forever think of that game until something crazier happens next week. But that's what I'm always going to think of, is that game and Tebow spiking the football and Antonio Cromartie not wanting to tackle him. I'm already depressed. It's a week away.
Just like
I'm
that?
Depressed.
Wow, that's next level right there, buddy.
Yeah, I know. But tonight, you had to feel really conflicted because, you know, thinking ahead to the NFL draft like I am and getting Trevor Lawrence, which is out there. If you're watching the Dolphins tonight, right, and Ryan Fitzpatrick goes nuts, right, you watch, he has a great game, and this is who Ryan Fitzpatrick is, right? He'll have weeks of great games, and then he'll have a couple weeks of 8 interceptions, and it's okay, now you're sitting down. And clearly he's on the hot streak now. He wore the big pineapple print shirt that was only buttoned up to the middle of his shirt tonight, middle of his chest tonight after the game when he did interviews. Looked like a singer-songwriter from the 1970s.
Sure.
You know, he's in that big run right now. But you're watching this and you're a Dolphins fan, you're going, I really want to see Tua. I really want to see Tua. Because especially when you see that the rookie quarterbacks who have been thrown out there so far in the draft have played really bleeping well. Okay, you watch Joe Burrow go out there and clearly he is ready for what is happening right now. He is terrific so far. Justin Herbert, who was going to be in mothballs, obviously, because of a weird confluence of circumstances, he gets thrown out there his first game with no prep time with the number ones, nothing. And what does he do? He throws for 300 yards and nearly pulls off an upset against the defending Super Bowl champions. So you want to see Tua. You know what? Okay, if Burrow's good and Herbert's good, coming into the season, Tua was a better prospect than all of them. Let's see Tua. And then you watch Fitzpatrick, and he's winning, and you go, okay, this is great, but this means we're pushing Tua's debut back a little bit further. Conversely, okay, if you're seeing Tua, it means because you've lost so many games, it doesn't matter, and now it's about Tua development. So it's really a catch 22. What are you rooting for if you're the Dolphins? Are you rooting for your team to win? Because the more you win, the more Fitzpatrick plays well, the less chance you have of seeing Tua Tagovailoa play. And you need to see him play, especially after seeing Burrow and Herbert play the way they did. And it's like an itch that's got to be scratched. And you watch them play tonight, and it's like, okay, they won, and it was fun. The Dolphins, you look down at the Jets in last place because they're probably going to be there all season now, and you laugh, and it's great. But then you wake up tomorrow and you go, we're really not going to see Tua for a while. So, okay, all right, well, ride the Fitzpatrick train again. It's really got to be difficult to try to go through that.
I just have to remind you this. The Jaguars' defense stinks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they legitimately had a player in the opening minutes of the game. Forget that you have to touch a man down. Okay, C.J. Henderson. Whiffed on the coverage, guy makes the catch. What's he doing? He's slapping his hands going, man, he got me. Like this, as the guy gets up and keeps sprinting and needed a teammate to come and run him out of bounds. That was the Jaguars' defense today. Not to mention Gardner Minshew didn't exactly put them any great spots
on. Oh,
either.
No, he was terrible.
He was awful today.
He was terrible. Well, and you know, and he's a guy that raises his game national level when the game gets bigger. He's one of those, hey, I can feel the spotlight on me. He's very comfortable in it. I really did expect a lot of points from him. I guess I was half right because we previewed the game last night and I said, there's a lot of points. This is going to be 38-35. We got a lot of points from the one team, so I guess I would say I was half right.
Yeah,
on this
half
game.
Right.
But the other half, I was really wrong.
No, it just blew up. You know,
he had an easy
throw to Conley that he overshot him by 10 yards. Mm. Had him streaking towards the end zone. Conley kind of looked back like, really, dude? And and they cut to the one shot of, and now I'm using one shot, of Minshew, and he's just got his head down because he knows, you know, I could hear the broadcast. You know, it was Buck and Aikman. I could just hear Troy. Man, he wants that one back. Right? So, I mean, that was one of those throws that could have otherwise defined your night, right? You get a big play there, give your team a spark. Who knows what happens? Instead, it was just abject misery for the entire night. The fumble, the interceptions, the late interception on a bad route. I mean, you're down in the red zone looking to push a score in, and the receiver hasn't even broken out of his route yet, one way or the other. Easy sideline interception, just bad throw, no communication, and for Gardner Minshew, an epic fail on a big stage.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. Coming up in 90 seconds, the other big football story of the day, but first.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
The big story in football today was that the Pac-12 has reversed their decision and they're going to play a 7-game conference season that begins the beginning of November and will go in through the middle of December, depending on if there's makeup games because of COVID-19. So this is one of those stories that's both a really good story and it's also one of those what are we really doing stories. All right, college football so far has been a whatever season. Right, they're playing. That's great, and you're watching the games, but whatever. Are you invested as you normally are? With your team trying to get to a bowl game or win a national championship, you're not. And less people are watching because what have we seen so far? It's been piecemeal, all right? A little bit of ACC and some of the Big 12. Now this week we finally get the SEC is going to start playing. In a couple of weeks, the Big 10 is going to start playing. And then in November, we're going to have the Pac-12. So some of the schools are going to be ending their season. The Pac-12 is going to be playing, and it's just whatever. I mean, that's the best way I can describe this college football season, because as good as it is to see the kids come back and play, and it's great, and that's fun, and we're celebrating that, it's just not the same season. I can't get caught up in who's going to wind up in the playoff, or who's going to wind up being a team that is going to get snubbed, or what the big week is going to be like in the regular season, because every week in the regular season, normally for college football, is a phenomenal week. And what we're getting now is just a bunch of piecemeal together. And when it comes down to it at the end, you're going to have the different conferences arguing with each other over who should be allowed to play in the national championship game. And you're going to have ACC coaches say, well, my record was 9-1. They only played 7 games and they're 7-0. Why are they ranked ahead of us when they shouldn't be? This is how college football can't come together. And this is why we're at this point of this season being a whatever season. The games are on. We'll watch them. That's great. But it's not the same, because everything for college football broke along political lines. And each conference tried a power play and it didn't work. It didn't work for the Pac-12 and the Big Ten, who said, hey, we're not going to play for a while, follow us. And the ACC and the SEC and the Big 12 dug in saying, no, we're going to start way earlier. None of that has worked. All right. And I can't understand how all the other sports have been able to figure it out. But college football is so politicized that the right decision couldn't be made. And we said this, Mike, you and I remember having this conversation in the beginning of July. College football, you are now 6 weeks away, 4 weeks away, 3 weeks away. No one is ready to play. And you're seeing games getting postponed all the time now because schools are still trying to figure out how to deal with COVID-19 and how to get past this early bump in the road. How they didn't say, you know what, let's do this. We'll play the whole season. Maybe we'll play a 10-game season, whatever it is, and we'll all start playing the middle of October. And this gives every school a chance to get back to school, to see what you need to do as far as students on campus, how you can keep COVID away from your campus, or if it's too much. And it lets you have a good 5 or 6 weeks of getting used to the new norm. And then we start the college football season. And if you can't, because things are going, okay, then we understand. You can't, you move out. But why would you do that? Why did we have to have this rush to play at the beginning of September and now here? And why did we have to have the rush to postpone the season to say, we're not going to play until the spring? Everything changes with COVID every couple of days in the United States, with different attitudes and different openings and non-openings. I don't get how college football, this is why when you don't have a true leader and college football doesn't have one, you wind up getting these splintered decisions like we have, because the right thing, the easy thing would have been, let's get ready together. We'll start the middle of October. We'll play 10 weeks. We'll leave a couple of weeks open for buys. We'll have national championship. It'll be as close to a normal college football season as we can. But no, college football couldn't come together on that. So we have a whatever season like we have right now.
Well, but I think that's just it, right? And I keep equating it just from a political side, because it all ties together, right? We've seen that in political ads. We had President Trump on the network talking to Clay Travis about the Big Ten a couple of weeks ago. I mean, that's the way it's worked, right? And state by state, you've had some concerning comments, even related to getting kids back to school. Looking at you, California, with some of your folks going, we'll deal with that after the election. Hold on, hold the phone. But we'll save that rant for offline or another time. But the idea of trying to get people on the same page, right? They all have different resources, different timetables, different levels of exposure, right? Just like you argue for states' rights to handle different events and sequences. And maybe you go back and ask the feds for help, but you don't want the feds ruling everything, right? Because your state, you know the unique challenges and opportunities within your state. Same thing here with college football. The SEC money and meaning, I think, you know, we can ascribe the grander meaning to what they do in the SEC. right? I think that's fair. And what college football constitutes versus some of the other conferences, that you start getting into that, and allocation of resources, risk assessment, all of these things go through, and different governors are going to have that, different conference commissioners are going to have that, and the meaning to the economy and to the mental health of the fans and everybody around. So, you know, it all plays together in this delicious stew, but trying to mix it all together. But in the end, you don't have the same, like, they're not all built the same. And trying to put, you know, Emmert in charge of anything is, well, we've seen that that's a disaster, except for putting on the championships. All right, you could do the NCAA tournament. You could do a few other things. You put the college football playoffs together, but you don't want them in charge, and they're not in charge of everything else. And getting the Power Five commissioners to all agree on things, nah, that's impossible. That's why it was the good idea from the Big Ten and others of, all right, we're all confined, and we have to, going to conference only, was we can be assured that if we institute this list of protocols, everybody's going to play along. Whereas non-conference, maybe they don't have the money, or you would have to shell out the money to bring them up to your status and level for a couple of weeks before you play. And then they go right back to whatever the non-testing or sporadic testing was. You know, there's no continuity. So conference by conference was the way it had to happen. And you know what? I'm going to enjoy every damn snap of it, Smith.
Well, I'm just saying you're not enjoying the games. I said we're enjoying the games. We're watching them, but yeah, it's not the same. We're not watching with the same level of intensity.
Yeah, but nobody's watching them for – I mean, very few schools legitimately think they have a shot at a title.
Sure, but it's about – that's normally, though. I mean, but
no, but that's what I mean. It's like, so I'm going to celebrate them just the same.
We could win our division, get to a bowl game, have – this is what college football is about.
Hey, Pac-12's letting everybody in, buddy.
It's
Clay Helton.
You go 0-7, you can go to a bowl game.
I'm in, baby. Let's go.
It's just not the same. And for a sport like college football that is built on the best regular season of any sport, because of all the big sports, college football has the best. There is the most at stake every single week. To have a regular season where you're just watching on, okay, it's kind of fun to watch, that's a big difference between what you're trying to show on TV and what you're not. And I wonder, you know, what it's going to be as far as how much of a sense of urgency people have to get to the TV on Saturdays as the college football season goes on. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike Gets Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, live from the Geico Studios. Coming up next, oh boy, do we have some mean tweets coming your way. Plus, the play of the night. Keep it right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon, live from the Geico Studios. Time now for the play of the night, brought to you by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That is 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more. Well, when you only throw two incomplete passes, and you throw two touchdowns, and you run for one, and you find a way to do a great interview after the game is over wearing a big floral print shirt that was only buttoned halfway up, and you got that big beard and chest hair going, well, Ryan Fitzpatrick, you get to be the play of the night.
Trips to the right, an empty backfield for Fitzpatrick on third and goal from the three. Looking to his left, fires, end zone, touchdown.
Yes,
Preston Williams.
You know, I'm telling you, Mike, I'm watching The Crown now, which is a really phenomenal show.
Okay.
It was a show that a few years ago, I'm like, I don't know if I want to watch. How exciting can it be? Oh, it is fantastic. And Winston Churchill is featured in the show. It's played by John Lithgow. And the funny thing is, it's like Winston Churchill is Ryan Fitzpatrick, because in the show, it's the early 50s and Churchill's in his second reign as prime minister, and everybody wants him out. The entire party wants him out because they want somebody younger to take over, because Winston Churchill, as good as he was, he won the war, but he's old. They want him out, and they say, we need somebody younger to come in here.
Sure.
And he's holding on, scratching and clawing on as with any way he can to hold on to power to continue to rule England. And I feel like that's Ryan Fitzpatrick. Everybody wants Tua. Nobody wants Fitzpatrick. No, you know what? I'm going to account for 3 touchdowns and have a near perfect quarterback rating. I'm going to claw and hold on to this starting job with everything I can and make you try to just kick me out if you can to go to a younger guy to come and run things.
Well, you got to respect that, right? A guy who refuses to yield, keeps coming back no matter what the helmet. And look, he's got a whole memorabilia museum of his own with the number of teams he's been on at this point. You talked about it before. What is it, 5 or 6 teams that he scored on the Jaguars with, which is kind of frightening as you look at it. But still nimble, right? He kept putting himself in harm's way. You had the great quarterback draw. You saw another run about midfield where he just got blown up, and he looked at the guy like, all right, you woke me up, now it's over. At that point, he'd already been dominating them. Granted, it's the Jaguars' defense, but you got to beat who's on the schedule. And you were a 3.5-point underdog, depending on where people got their book. And you came out and you absolutely obliterated the legend that is Gardner Minshew. And you showed for one day, if for just one day, beards greater than mustaches.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome. How about some meme tweets?
Oh, please.
Oh, yeah.
It's
been
a minute.
Got some. We have some music, please, Alex Teichert. Thank you very much, Jimmy Kimmel. Jason, if you had to put your life on one pick and it was going to be made by either Linda Rambis or James Dolan, who you got? Oh, that's Linda Rambis.
No question.
I'm not letting James Dolan near anything.
Yeah, that's a tough proposition, though. Yeah, there's no question about that.
I mean, I wouldn't be happy about it, but I would still choose Linda Rambis.
No, okay, sure.
Jason, if you had an Uber coming, who would you rather see as your driver? Bill Belichick with a scythe and a maybe ripped up sweatshirt, or a shirtless and pantless Swollen Dome?
Oh!
No, I'd rather Belichick show up than you with no pants.
I'm not on Snapface and all that.
You're a loss. It's gone what it is. I love you, America.
Jason, your dumbass rhetoric is exactly why I don't listen to your lame-ass show anymore. That and your voice sounds like your underwear is on too tight.
See about underwear again.
Yeah, well, sometimes I do the show without underwear. I just wear shorts. Sometimes. Maybe I don't.
It's separated by a thin layer of gabardine. I'm out there, baby, and I'm loving it.
Jason, you're the Kyrie Irving of sports talk radio. Agitator, contrarian, cancer in the clubhouse, and you alienate everybody whenever you open your big fat trap. That's pretty good.
That's
not
bad.
No,
we could get Bob to voice that over.
That
could become an intro.
The Kyrie Irving of sports talk, right? I'm a cancer. Oh, you're a cancer in the clubhouse.
Hey, you know what, though? The rest of the clubhouse uses the quotes, okay? So take that.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome. Hey, tomorrow's Football Friday and my heat. Ben Maller coming up next, Fox.